This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
Godless, or if you prefer, God-free greetings. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, welcoming you to Free Thought Radio, the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist. This is the weekend of January 28 and 29, 2012. Free Thought Radio is broadcasting in Madison, Wisconsin. And hello to all you podcast listeners and all of you who are listening to the live broadcast in several other cities. Annie Laurie and I are co-directors of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Annie Laurie, you were fortunate to be a third-generation freethinker. You grew up with no religion at all.
That's right.
But me, I had to claw my way out of the darkness. I was raised in a religious family. I spent 19 years preaching the gospel before finding out that there's no baby in that bathwater.
So the Freedom From Religion Foundation is a national membership group for those of you who have always been free from religion, or those of you like Dan who had to grope your way out of the darkness. And congratulations to you, if that is so. We have 17,500 members nationwide, and we also serve as a very diligent state church watchdog to keep religion out of government and out of politics, and educate the public on free thought, non-theism, and why more than ever we need to freedom from religion in our government and in our personal lives.
A lot of news today, and we have two guests. First, a short interview coming up with Sunsara Taylor, who will celebrate with us the just passed anniversary of Roe versus Wade, the 1973 Supreme Court decision. Sunsara herself co-hosts a radio program. It's called A Time for Free Thought on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City.
And then we're pleased, very pleased to announce that Jessica Ahlquist has found time to join our show. She's the 16-year-old who's been in the eye of a hurricane. And actually, we've pre-recorded an interview of her earlier in the week to talk about this very good federal court decision in her favor as a student plaintiff on January 11th to get a prayer banner out of her Rhode Island high school, but unfortunately, which has unleashed so much vicious reaction and backlash against her in her state of Rhode Island. And so the second half of Free Thought Radio will be devoted to that interview with Jessica. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute.
First, we want to call your attention to the remarks of the South Carolina primary GOP victor, Newt Gingrich, which was a week ago Saturday. Did you hear what he said in part of his speech when he went after state church separation?
One of the key issues is the growing anti-religious bigotry of our elites. If you go to newt.org, there's a 54-page paper there on the balance of power and eliminating dictatorial religious bigots such as Judge Barry in San Antonio, who issued a ruling that not only could the students not pray at their graduation, if they used the word benediction, invocation, God asked the audience to stand or ask for a moment of silence, he would put the superintendent in jail. Now, we don't have speech dictatorship in America by anti-religious bigots, period.
I love this invitation to read his 54-page paper.
Well, about the separation of powers, and then he wants the president to oust a judge, is what he said. He wants to kick out this judge.
Well, eliminate was the word, which I think is a very poor choice of a word. And look at the bigotry descending against one young girl in Rhode Island, and he's claiming there's anti-religious bigots. And Dan, you went back and read that decision.
The judge wrote a very, very good decision. They were looking for an injunction first. The case is still going, a high school student in Texas.
It's about religious prayer at a graduation.
Gingrich totally distorted what the judge said. The judge said the students could pray.
Well, they could not do formally an official prayer. They couldn't ask other students to pray. If they wanted to say religious things in their remarks, they could.
He makes it look like he's trying to censure free speech when really it's government speech that's the issue here.
Now, we thought you'd enjoy knowing about a picket that our member and
Mitch Kale,
2011 Freethinker of the Year, organized with Hawaii Citizens for Separation of Church and State there in Hawaii earlier this month.
On January 19th, Mitch Kale and the group picketed the Catholic Red Mass, which is always held to influence the judiciary. They picketed outside with signs protesting the pedophilia within the church and other things. But just listen to a little bit of their picketing chants.
Thousands of priests, millions of victims. Thousands of priests, millions of victims.
Hey, hey, ho, ho.
Abusive clergy has to go. Hey, hey. Abusive clergy has to go.
So way to go, Mitch, and the other Hawaiian freethinkers. You can go to YouTube if you want to see the priceless expressions of the Catholic hierarchy there.
They look like these medieval central casting, you know, autocrat. They just have this exactly what you would look, kind of a slimy, you know, religious look. And they were very uncomfortable.
They looked very furtive.
And very uncomfortable having to march through his picketing.
One of my favorite memories as a college student was picketing the installation, they call it an installation, of a bishop in Madison, Wisconsin, with my mother and FFRF members and other feminists. And it was kind of a scary crew of clergy.
Now, on to the news of the week. The shameful reaction in Rhode Island to Jessica Ahlquist's victory.
Jessica Ahlquist, as we've already talked about her last week, and she'll be, we're interviewing her, running the interview later in the show, is the 16-year-old plaintiff in a federal lawsuit with the ACLU to rid a prayer banner from her Cranston High School, I think it's called Cranston West in Cranston, Rhode Island. And the decision came down January 11th, and there's been this firestorm against her. We played the horrible remarks of her state representative on the radio
last week
on our radio program, calling her an evil little thing, whispering campaigns, death threats, the use of social network by students and people in her community, saying vile, awful things that you cannot repeat on the radio, that nobody should even be thinking about a 16-year-old. Well, when the decision came down January 11th, I was really busy. I meant to send her flowers. And after the revilement started a week ago, I thought, let's get those flowers to her. And I contacted one of our florists in Madison, Wisconsin, to arrange for flowers through the Rhode Island florist.
Through Teleflora.
Teleflora, or wherever they could. And that was a week ago Tuesday. And I was so shocked on Wednesday, when the flowers were to have been delivered, to get a phone call saying three florists in Cranston had refused to deliver flowers to her. They had picked a fourth florist outside Cranston, and on Thursday morning, I walk into the office and I'm told they won't deliver. We had to go out of state to Putnam, Connecticut, called Glimpses of Gaia. We found this connection through a freethinker who emailed us, and this is a lovely shop. They understand the Civil Rights Act and that you cannot refuse service to somebody based on religion or lack of religion. And so this has gotten a lot of play. We finally got the flowers delivered. And this is one of several TV stations that covered it. This is
ABC6.
Top story tonight, the Cranston banner debate shifts to flowers as businesses refuse to serve the teenage girl at the center of the battle. An anti-religious group trying to send flowers to Cranston West student Jessica Ahlquist is forced to go out of state to find a florist willing to deliver.
A bouquet of flowers arrive at Jessica Ahlquist's home in Cranston on the fifth try.
I think we don't discriminate against people for any reason.
Sean Condon drove all the way from Connecticut to deliver the flowers to the Cranston West teen, who won a lawsuit against her school over a prayer banner. The school was ordered to take the banner down. A Wisconsin anti-religious group wanted to send Ahlquist congratulatory flowers, but four different florists in Rhode Island refused.
It's my freedom of speech, and I refuse orders anytime I want. I take orders when I want.
The order said Ahlquist was under the public eye and the deliverer would need to show ID.
I mean, it's not worth it for me to do that.
Floral Express was the second to turn the order down, saying they'd be closed on the day of delivery. We checked, and the door was locked. And the third to deny the order, Flowers by Santilli.
We have beliefs as well as the individual that's in the middle of all this. We just feel that it's better for us as a business and for the city itself just to stay away from this and not even cross the lines.
Sean Condon, almost immediately after delivering the flowers, started receiving harassing phone calls.
That we should be ashamed of ourselves for delivering to that girl. And this is a teenage girl, and I thought, I'm not so sure I need to be ashamed of myself.
The Freedom From Religion Foundation in Wisconsin says they're filing civil complaints against the florists that refused their order. In Cranston, Alexander Cowley, ABC 6 News.
So we have filed a formal complaint, actually two of them, with the State of Rhode Island Commission for Human Rights, alleging illegal discrimination based on religion against us when the flower shops refused. And actually, we have quite a bit of evidence. I mean, one of the shops, they didn't say it on the TV program, said in writing, I will not deliver to that person. You know, it's the whole state arrayed against one teenager, and as if they're congratulating each other on how mean and vicious they can be. They've started a website, a Facebook site, to congratulate themselves for being bad people. And so we, you know, it is a violation of the Civil Rights Act to refuse service to someone based on religion, race, color, sex, and so on. So, and then Dan, why don't you say what else we've done?
Well, the Freedom From Religion Foundation is announcing the creation of a new special fund called the Atheist in Foxholes Support Fund. And this is not just for military, it's for any atheist, young or old, to provide scholarships and assistance to persons who exhibit bravery in furthering the cause and experience hardship because of that stand. So with the help of our members, we'll create and replenish this fund to increase our support, especially for young people who take a stand in support of free thought or state church separation and are punished for that stand. Clearly, there's a need for a vehicle in which the free thought community can rely to respond, to show support and help activists like Jessica Ahlquist, who find themselves in the crossfire as civil atheists. We announce
in
our
foxholes.
Civil atheists in foxholes, that's right.
And they don't necessarily have to be an atheist. We don't care what you call
civil
yourself.
Non-believer, whatever. Yeah, a free thinker. We announced the first recipient will be Jessica Ahlquist, whom we just talked about, for successfully suing her high school over an illegal prayer banner. The foundation today is sending a startup scholarship check via this Atheist in Foxholes Support Fund for $10,000. And we already announced it's designated her for the 2012 Thomas Jefferson Youth Activist Award with a $2,000 scholarship.
Now, Jessica had gotten was one of six student activist awards last year to get youth activist or student activist awards of $1,000 each. And she spoke at our convention, accepted it in person. At the time that her representative, Palumbo, went after her, we decided to re-grant that for 2012 and to double it. And there's been a great deal of support from the Freethought community. I think a feeling that the more they heap the hate on, the more support there will be. For someone who, in Jessica's case, and she'll talk about it, was hoping to go out of state, leave this community, get out of this crossfire as soon as possible. So what's coming up?
Well, stay tuned. I'm Dan Barker here with Annie Laurie Gaylor. We're going to talk in the second segment about Roe versus Wade. And then after that, we'll talk with, and we'll have an interview, a recorded interview with Jessica Ahlquist.
As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
No gods, no masters, no popes, no pastors. Think for yourself. No more dictators. Resist those woman haters and decide for yourself.
Resist those woman haters and decide for yourself. I'm Dan Barker.
And that's your song, and that's you singing an ode to No Gods, No Masters, an ode to Margaret Sanger, who I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and that brings up our next topic, which is the past, just past anniversary of the January 22nd, 1973 landmark decision Roe versus Wade. And with us to discuss that decision and the threats by the religious right against it is Sansara Taylor, who's on the advisory board of World Can't Wait, which is the group created by Madison celebrity Deborah Sweet.
We had her on our show.
Shook Nixon's hand and told him off as a high schooler. Sansara is a co-host on Equal Time for Free Thought, WBAI 99.9 FM in New York City. Welcome to Free Thought Radio, Sansara.
I'm glad to be with you.
And now, you put out a petition. Why don't you tell us about it?
I issued a call to atheists and secularists to stand up for abortion rights and birth control. And the reason I did this is because atheists and secularists generally pride ourselves on defense of science, on separation of church and state, and opposing hateful, harmful religious myths. And nowhere is there a greater affront against all of these principles than in the assault on women's right to abortion and birth control currently going on in this country. Fetuses are not babies. That's scientifically untrue. Abortion is not murder, and women are not incubators. The whole motivation of the anti-abortion movement has been rooted in biblical scripture, most specifically the mandate that women, as supposed payment for allegedly committing original sin, that we can only redeem ourselves by having babies, and this is why the entire anti-abortion movement also opposes birth control.
So blame the woman, right? Always blame the woman for everything that's wrong.
Yep. The woman, yes. And obviously, it's a huge violation of church and state. If you take out the undergirding of religion as the motivation of this movement, there's no basis to restrict women's access to abortion and birth control. And yet it's going on. Last year, there was 92 restrictions on abortion. That shatters the previous record of 34 restrictions passed in 1 year under Bush. This is a time when people who support women's lives, women's rights to determine their own destinies, women's right not to be enslaved to their biology, have to raise their voices and speak up. And atheists and secularists should be foremost among them. And I feel this issue has not been recognized as centrally as it must be. It's really about the liberation or the enslavement of half of humanity.
Well, the Freedom From Religion Foundation wouldn't exist if it wasn't for the abortion rights advocacy of my mother, Ann Gaylor. And when I was a teenager trailing around after her for starting the first group in Wisconsin to legalize abortion, it opened up our eyes to the power of religion and the harm of trying to put religious dogma in our laws. So I know, and the early Freethought movement was full. I know them personally, freethinkers, atheists, agnostics, and, you know, the Margaret Sanger, you know, kind of paved the way for that. So what you want to see is a little bit more attention.
Where's
to
the
this
petition?
Problem.
There's a petition to sign?
Yes, there's a petition to sign. And if you go to my blog, sansara.blogspot.com.
How do you spell Sansara?
sansara.blogspot.com. Or if you just search a call to secularists and atheists to defend abortion and the word I petition, you should be able to find that in Google. And I know that Annie Laurie Gaylor, you signed this call. You joined me in doing that, and I'm really glad that you did. And I think it would make a big difference if other people who do not want to see women enslaved to their biology, who think that this is an issue that is at the heart of free thought and atheist and secular values, to go and add your name to that and to speak about abortion. 1 in 3 women has an abortion, and very few people speak about this openly. Tell your story or talk about it undefensively. We need to challenge the stigma. We need to make this, take back the moral high ground and say that it's totally immoral and illegitimate to force women to have children against their will.
Hear, hear. Thank you, Sansara. And, of course, there's now a big war against contraception with the fundamentalists starting to join the Catholic Church. So we got to beware. Be vigilant. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker. We've been talking with Sansara Taylor. We're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us, Sansara. And we will be back to talk with Jessica Ahlquist, a taped interview, what it's been like, this firestorm against her in the last 2 weeks, to be in the middle of a federal lawsuit reviled by an entire state, Rhode Island. So don't miss this interview with our very feisty freethinker.
Beware of Dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
Copper comes from Arizona. Peaches come from Georgia. And lobsters come from Maine. The wheat fields are the sweet fields of Nebraska. And Kansas gets bonanzas from the grain. Old whiskey comes from old Kentucky. Ain't the country lucky? New Jersey gives us glue. And you come from Rhode Island. And little old Rhode Island is famous for you.
And that's Blossom Deary singing Rhode Island is Famous for You. That song was recommended by a member, Ed Killian, who thought it would be appropriate, dealing with Jessica Ahlquist and the big brouhaha over the prayer, the recent victory that she just had in court over prayers at her high school. I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we have Jessica on the phone with us.
Hello.
Hello, welcome. And what we want to find out and catch up with what it's been like for you kind of in the eye of this hurricane or firestorm. And thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Now, that decision, you took this lawsuit was it last year or 2 years ago?
We filed in April, so it was last year.
So why don't you remind our listeners why you filed and what it felt like when you won on January 11th?
Well, I saw the prayer for the first time when I was a freshman, and I recognized it as unconstitutional and a violation of separation between church and state. And I fought for about a year trying to convince the school committee to remove it. When they wouldn't, we decided to file a lawsuit with the ACLU against my city to have it removed. And 2 weeks ago, January 11th, we got the phone call that we had won. And that, it was amazing, and I was speechless. I actually didn't believe it at first. It's been so long now, and I've been waiting, and it seems like it's been forever, but now that we've won, it's just amazing.
This was a very strong decision by, I'm not sure how to pronounce his name, Judge Legault, is that right, or Legault?
Yes.
And
it's a French name.
French name, and he, not only a very well-reasoned, of course, decision, but he singled you out for your courage and pointing out the kind of wrath that you'd already taken. And that must have felt pretty good.
That was amazing too. Just to have this judge validate everything I had been fighting for so long, that meant a lot to me. He didn't have to say anything personal about me, but he did. It was very touching.
And he's actually a believer himself, I understand. Isn't he a Catholic?
Yeah, I think he is a Catholic. I don't know how traditional he is, but yes, he's Catholic, and I know that he actually mentioned that when we went to the hearing in October, and I was a little bit nervous at first that maybe he would let his belief get in the way of his logic as far as his case goes, but he was brilliant, and his decision is perfect, and I couldn't have gotten a better judge.
Now, I understand he's 80 years old and is a Reagan appointee. So good for him.
Well, then not all believers in your state are crazy, hostile believers.
Did you, I imagine you had some kind of celebration and let this victory sink in. Did you have a party or?
We definitely want to have a party. We were kind of holding that off until we get a decision whether the city's going to appeal or not.
Now,
we don't want to celebrate too soon.
In terms of what has happened since then, I think that this decision came down, was it I can't remember what day of the week it was. But
it was a Wednesday night.
So you didn't go back to school for a couple nights, is that right, a couple days?
I had the press release the next morning, Thursday morning, and then I went back to school for about 2 hours later that day, and it was horrible.
What happened?
I walked in. As soon as I walked into my first class, there were girls who were
talking and turned around and said something like, oh, that's so awkward. And then one of the girls tweeted that Satan's assistant had just walked into class. Satan's assistant, yeah. And shortly after that, the same student walked down to the office and reported me. And I really don't know what for, but I spent the next period in the guidance office. So that wasn't really a great day.
She reported you for some unknown reason and they pulled you out of class?
I guess she had been on her phone looking at my tweets and she found them offensive, so she reported me to guidance. I hadn't obviously said anything.
Now, and then things have really churned up. I mean, I've never seen anything like this in recent history about what you've been through. Everything just started turning into a great big revilement of the lawsuit and going after you. When did that start?
Almost immediately, I would say. As soon as the decision was made and word got out, the threat started and the rumors and people in school saying terrible things. It was immediate, really.
Now, threats, is this all on Twitter and Facebook or social networking? How are you getting the threats?
Most of the threats, almost all of them, have come from Twitter. Not so much Facebook, but a lot of it's on Twitter. And there have been death threats. There have just been nasty comments. You know, everything you can imagine, it's all on Twitter. And we have screenshots of it now on a couple of websites.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen some of them, and they take your breath away. They're so ghastly. They're so awful. And everybody feels so badly that you're having to endure this and put up with this. Is the school doing anything to protect you?
The school has police officers that followed me to class. And I haven't been to school in the last few days, but if I go back to school, there are police officers that follow me to every class and wait outside with me for my ride home and everything. And it's very awkward, and I really don't like it. But I guess at this point, since my safety became an issue, this is the measures we've had to take.
Now, I think that what we want to take a little break and then we want to talk about, there's been an awful lot happening since then. You testified at a school board. I know there's a school board meeting coming up. We're talking with Jessica Ahlquist, the 16-year-old who just won a federal decision against a prayer banner in her public school. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. Who are you, Dan?
And I'm Dan Barker. Can we go out with that other bit of listen to the rest of that song.
But why should you be blue? For you come from Rhode Island. Don't let them ride Rhode Island. It's famous for you.
Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And we're talking with Jessica Ahlquist about her recent victory, removing a prayer mural from her Cranston, Rhode Island High School. And Jessica, you were saying you were getting a lot of flack at school, but you have friends there as well, don't you?
Who agree? I do. I have great friends.
One of your friends or acquaintances actually went with you to testify at a school board committee hearing about in favor of the judge's decision, and she got booed. I think her name was Taylor. We have a little clip of Taylor getting booed.
Hi, my name is Taylor Grenga, and I'm a junior at Cranston West. I know that people have said that our prayer has a good moral message, and I absolutely agree that it does, but that's not a reason to keep it, especially considering we do have a school creed already hanging in our auditorium. It's very similar and basically contains the same message as the prayer, except in a more secular context. And while our prayer does not address Jesus, it does address a Heavenly Father. And since Jews and Muslims do not address their God as a Heavenly Father, it is a Christian prayer, which is why I think we should just stick with having the creed on our walls, which contains the same moral values.
That's it. That's enough.
So some of the adults were booing and some were clapping.
And, well, one of the women had to be escorted out by police. That was a couple weeks ago, right, Jessica?
Yeah, it was awful, actually. As soon as Taylor had finished speaking, there was plenty of adults who were booing, and I think the only people clapping were the seven of us who had shown up for the decision. And, it was terrible, and I'm so lucky to have a friend like Taylor who is willing to come with me to these things. And she's been involved from the very beginning, and it's really great to have a friend like that. But it was also kind of nerve-wracking going after her, and being who I am and everything, I was bracing myself for the booing. But fortunately, the school committee said that if anybody booed, they'd be escorted out.
Now, you also went in with a police escort to that school board meeting, didn't you?
There were a lot of police there, mostly because Christopher Young was there, and he has had a history of even throwing things when he gets too upset about something. And so we were all a little bit worried about that.
Now, we've recorded this, pre-recorded this as it's playing on Saturday. We recorded this on Wednesday, which is just before the second school board meeting, as we're speaking, that's been taking place tonight. And I know that they're supposed to be, they're hoping for 100 solid supporters to show up. Ellery Shemp, who was part of the Shemp versus Abington school board Supreme Court decision against religious Bible reading in the public schools in the early 60s. There's going to be a lot of people there tonight, hopefully. So what do you think the school board is? You don't think the school board is going to make an announcement that it won't appeal?
I don't think they're going to be doing that tonight. The school committee often tries to wait as long as they can, and I would be very surprised if they made a decision tonight.
You know,
I'm guessing that it's going to be a little while longer before they actually say anything.
Now, what I mean, our group and our members are contacting the school board, urging them to accept the decision of the judge to not appeal, because this is what's putting all the focus on you right now, because all these people are trying to lobby the school board to appeal the decision, and that's making it extra hard, I think, on you, the plaintiff, that they should be doing the right thing, which they should have been doing in the first place, and never fought this lawsuit.
Right. Well, yes, it's putting a lot on me, but I think what people are forgetting to consider is the major repercussions with the decision to appeal. If they were to decide that, the city does not have the money to do something like that. And I know one student who spoke at the last meeting said, if we're going to go down, we should go down fighting. And maybe that's a, you know, heroic thing in minds of some, but if you look at this logically, economically even, it's a terrible decision for the city and for the students, really.
I noticed in the judge's decision that he cited the Weissman decision from 20 years ago, which had to do with graduation prayers in Rhode Island, and you got to meet Debbie Weissman, who was the high schooler at that time, who was just as brave as you in standing up to that whole community. It went clear to the Supreme Court. You got to talk with Debbie a bit.
Yeah, I've met Debbie a few times now, and she's wonderful. She's been hugely supportive to me and my family, and she comes to a lot of the things that we're doing now in Rhode Island. I don't think she lives here anymore, but she still comes by every now and then. And it's great to see her, and I think seeing her is proof that life goes on after this kind of stuff happens.
You're in very...
Even though it seems really bad now, kind of like the end of the world, it's going to get better.
Yes, it will.
And she was one of our honorees in 1992.
You're in very distinguished company. Now, this is the big question. Did you ever get FFRF's flowers?
Yes, I did, and they're beautiful. I'm actually looking at all the flowers I got right now, and my whole house smells wonderful. I think there are like 11 or 12 bouquets in total. And some of these have tags on them. One of them is from somebody in Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just in awe at how kind people are.
We got an email from that person in Sweden who said, I want to be able to send flowers to Jessica too. How do we do it? So we just referred them back to Glimpses of Gaia, which is this lovely florist shop in Putnam, Connecticut. And so, and we were getting other people. So I'm so glad they followed up. And why don't you tell us a little bit more about what that's been like?
Well, the flower shop people have been very sweet. And I know they've had to drive over an hour and a half just to deliver these flowers. And they also mentioned to my mom or my dad, I don't remember who, but they mentioned that they've actually been following the story and they're very supportive of me. So that's a neat coincidence, and I'm really thankful for that too.
And he's also spoken out. He's trying to educate people, not just about not being bigoted like this, but educating other florists and the public about the Civil Rights Act, that you can't deny services on the basis of religion or lack of religion. And I thought, you know, do they grow the mean in Rhode Island? I cannot understand these people in Rhode Island and their viciousness toward you.
Well, in one of the news stories, the black reporter was commenting about how this florist refused to serve a person because of the views. What if it because they were black or Jewish or something else? Everyone would see the discrimination there.
Yes, and I think in a lot of ways, secular people are next.
Yeah, because...
And it's our turn to have our fight for our rights, just like women, just like blacks, just like gays. We're next, I think.
Well, in 30-plus years, never... we've had some discrimination from service providers, but never have I ever encountered florists that wouldn't deliver flowers and are so righteous about it and patting themselves on the back and starting their own Facebook page, you know. So, but we assume you have just been inundated, hopefully, with a lot of support.
Oh, it's been wonderful. The internet has really been good to me, and there are so many, for every nasty comment, there are 10 great ones, and it's really encouraging to see it every day.
It's the flowering of free thought. That's what it is.
Yes.
Yes, there are a lot of people around the country, around the world, who are in favor of a free speech and religious freedom and the freedom to dissent from religion.
Now, Jessica, if you have, you know, if the school board will just, if reason will just prevail, they will accept the law, accept they were wrong, what would you like to do from here?
Well, I would like to continue being an activist. Even when this ends, I think there's still a lot that needs to be done in this country, and I really want to help. And I'm going to be going to Reason Rally in March, and I'm super excited about that, and I'm really hoping to be there to represent the younger people involved in this movement.
Well, we'll see you there, and very glad that you got on the program. In terms of your own education, would you still like to graduate early and go to out-of-state college, or what are your plans?
She wants to become a florist.
I really don't know yet. My family, we're looking into that, and we're trying to find out what would be the most logical thing for me to do at this point, whether or not I'm going to stay at West. I know there are rumors going around that I transferred to a religious school. I can assure everybody that I'm not doing that, but whether it be, you know, staying at West or whatever it is, I know that it'll be a smart decision.
And in terms of, have you considered asking for a tutor, or do you want to keep going to school?
We're considering that now. Really, everything is just up in the air right now, and we're waiting for things to kind of relax, and then we're going to start looking into more stuff as well. But for now, there's just a lot of talk about what our options are.
I remember that speech you gave at the Secular Student Alliance Conference last summer, where a student asked you from the audience, what have you learned from this experience? And you said, I now know what I want to do with the rest of my life. You want to make a difference in some way. And it's amazing how... you know, how one person can make such a difference.
And I never saw it that way. I mean, you know, growing up, people had always said things like, oh, yeah, we can all stand up and we can all make a difference. But I didn't really believe it wholeheartedly, and I think it took this experience to really prove that to myself. And then I'm really excited to see what the future holds for activism and for this movement.
Now, let's see. Do you have what's the best way for people to show support for you? How would you like to get that?
Oh boy.
Is there a Facebook?
Well, I know some people are Facebook people, some people are more Twitter, and I'm on both, and I do both every day, all day, probably too much.
Well, thank you. We're running out of time. Thank you so much, Jessica, for finding the time to join us, and we'll be keeping everyone posted on what happens.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Jessica. And also thank you, Dave McCann, for producing, and Buzz Kemper for announcing. And if you want to hear the podcast, go to ffrf.org/radio.
Ask for more information at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. Go to our news link at ffrf.org/news. Read all about Jessica. Read about our Atheist in Foxhole Fund, the florists, snafu. You can follow this all at ffrf.org. See you next week.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, ffrf.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
I hope someday